This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
Oh my lands.
Jody!
You know what?
Take 12.
Yeah, had we not just talked about that, I mean, honestly.
Have a little more BPA in your Diet Coke.
Just have another Coke, Jody. Yeah. No, really.
I think I'm going to start sniffing it pretty soon.
He already is sniffing. We have more epoxy floating around in this new office.
I think it's the formaldehyde.
I'm going to say your office smells better, right?
Yeah.
Is it? I just thought I lost my smell.
No, it's gone.
You're all done.
Really?
Yeah, but my office, my office is apparently full of formaldehyde at the moment. I just can't seem to put it together. I don't know.
I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
That time I got it.
I gotta pace it.
He pounced like a cat on a bird.
Darn near scared me.
He did scare me. They have incontinence pads or something here.
But not flat knees?
No.
Well, we were talking about...
It just came to me what that stood for last night as I'm lying in bed.
See, they're talking about these little absorbent pads that you're supposed to be able to put on your seat.
So in the office, when you're in close confines.
In your car or wherever. And as you pass gas, flatulence, it's got like a charcoal carbon absorbency or something.
And you can actually have some for your innards.
No!
Well, I mean, for your undergarments.
Yeah, undergarments, not your innards necessarily.
Well, it's more inner than your outer.
You know. Yeah.
We won't name names.
No.
Moving right along.
But there are people in this office that probably should get them.
It's a movement.
Yeah. Anyways, we were going to say, see, we haven't, okay, now we're completely backfired because we were just going to apologize for being off track last time. We're just about as far off track as you can get again.
So, I know my BPA level is really good because
this yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, so as promised, we have some beefy things to talk about in this episode. Jody.
All I know is I'm sweating. Is everybody else sweating?
Oh, man, Jody.
I didn't even... Well, was it me that brought it up?
But you're extending it.
You sure are.
Oh,
man. Oh.
Grown men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Supposedly somewhere in the 40 range.
You know who's not.
No, I'm not there yet. I've got 4 more weeks.
Counting down to 40, baby.
Counting down to 40. Ooh.
Okay.
We're back.
We promised last week that we would clear things up a bit and not be quite as...
silly?
Yeah.
Goofy?
Nonsensical.
Off the wall?
Inside joke-ish.
Vague.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to be. In fact, we have some really fun stuff to talk about today.
I think so.
I don't know if you guys have heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
Bisphenol A.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving in today. But, you know, I'm going to back up. Some time ago, quite a few years ago,
yeah,
we were told about a great book called Boys Adrift, written by a medical doctor that was supposed to talk, because we had just had a son, right? Our first son.
Yeah.
So we read the book, and it has to do about lots of things. You know, how do you deal with a boy who doesn't want to sit still in school and blah, blah, blah. You know, are they motivated and so on and so forth? Well, anyways, there was a little tiny section in there Just doing everything you could to hold on. I could tell. Was it the little tiny section that we're talking about?
Sorry.
Or did you see the thing? Yeah, I didn't even see the little thing for his britches.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
Paul, I am so sorry.
Oh, man. There's got to be high concentrations in this room.
I did not bring any Kleenex with me.
Yeah, I'm going to let that stop you. Yeah, just grab that shirt.
I don't think the glue is dried yet.
And in the section of the book that talked about specifically boys developing, there was this article, or not this article, because it was a book. There was a section that was talking about how different chemicals in the environment might be affecting the development of boys in utero, but then even after they're born. Okay, so that's the very first time I'd heard about this.
I remember that day. You read the book. You came into me, and we're all up in arms about BPA.
Yeah,
and I thought, yeah,
Roy's on a wacko thing. Yeah. He's just, you know.
It's like, yeah, what health food nuts has he been talking
yeah,
to?
Exactly. And believe it or not, you know, what's really weird about that is that I'm kind of a health food nut. I mean, you know, I'm not a young kid anymore. I've been trying to eat more responsibly. I think we have more information about chemicals getting into our foods.
Yeah.
And so it's not so wacky to be organic or more organic, right? But when I talked to Jody about this, it did sound pretty wacky. So he and I went on this research thing, and I found these two really weird stories, okay? And one, and I'm going to tell you about them.
Yeah.
One of them, it started with this whole thing about how there were fishermen noticing less and less fish in the Potomac River out east.
Right.
And so they became so alarmed over time that the fish were not spawning, not replenishing, that they contacted the authorities. Well, I guess the environmental quality guys came out, the DNR came out, and they started doing studies on these fish and doing biopsies on them.
Yeah.
And found that the male fish really were actually like female fish.
Yeah.
Or at least eunuchs.
Yeah, they weren't reproducing, they weren't fertilizing anything.
Right.
And in fact, in some of the males, I believe the study said, they actually had, their sperm had turned into ovum. Eggs.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So, which, you know, when you're talking about reptilians and aquatics,
right?
That's not all that. I mean, what is that? The one frog is basically neuter, right? I mean, what do they call that? It can change back and forth as needed and blah, blah, blah.
Androgynous.
Androgynous. You are so smart.
Wow. It's Saturday Night Live. Sorry.
But, yeah, not quite androgynous, but androgynous.
Pat, Terry, Kim.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. But anyways, androgynous is the right... Yeah. Yeah. So that's not that far-fetched, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they went... But it wasn't right for these fish. That's not the way these fish operate. Okay. So they went up river to the other little feeder fingerlings to see how far this problem was spreading. Mm-hmm. And they found it for miles and miles.
Right.
Wow. And did it get stronger as they went up?
I don't think so. But what they were realizing is this was a chemical pollution.
Right.
In the water.
So it wasn't just stemming from a source. It may be draining into the Potomac or
yeah,
Hudson
right.
from
yeah.
all... Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The biggest thing, it wasn't just there, though, but many other places have experienced this now that they've started to research BPA, especially, you know, you look at the minnows, the minnow count. Minnow mm-hmm. count's down dramatically from what it used to be.
Okay.
Because the BPA, bisphenol A, affects the reproductive organs of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's huge. It's huge what's happening, and the drop is amazing.
Yeah, I was just reading here as you were talking about that. The fathead minnows mm-hmm. were exposed to water concentrations of which BPA in the range from 1 to 1,280 micrograms per liter. Mm-hmm. They reported that the growth and reproductive effects of BPA on sexually mature adults in the F0 generation... this is getting a little technical, but and the effects on hatchability in the F1 generation, the measured concentrations were just so related to these reproduction problems, mm-hmm. that they said, we've got a problem here, Mayday.
Yeah.
Well, then, this is only part one of two stories. Second story was, then right on the heels of the fish problem, I start hearing about these alligators down in the Florida Everglades, right? And here it is. I pulled this, and we're going to post all these on iRescueRadio.com for people to see the whole story. I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but in Tampa, chemical pollution that sterilizes some Florida alligators should beg hard questions about how people might be affected, a longtime researcher warned Tuesday. If we're not smart enough to understand that the species in our environment may be showing us potential problems for our own species, then we are at greater risk than we think, University of Florida zoology professor Louis Guillet told scientists at a national toxicology conference. Now, what he's been doing is he's been
trying to be polite about it. Bacon bits are coming to haunt.
At least it's not BPA.
Yeah. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Goulet, which I hope is how we pronounce his last name, has researched hormonal differences in alligators from polluted and clean lakes for about 20 years and studies reproduction and development in other wildlife and in people. His is part of a growing body of research into the potential health risks posed by wide varieties of chemicals affecting people's hormones, okay? Huh. So this is another one of those stories that's talking about the effects of BPA, yeah. And I think in this case it was DDT that got into the water systems of the Everglades.
Sure, we've known about DDT for years.
Yes.
And that obviously has been banned. Obviously, right. There's all kinds of, I don't know if it's banned, I guess, banned in certain usages.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's amazing how DDT was just huge. Oh, huge, yeah. Huge in the effects. BPA, mm-hmm. though, we're not hearing about it.
Yeah, I know.
It's almost like a cover-up.
Yeah. Well, so we decided, and on the way into that's what I was going to originally say, on the way in this morning, I'm listening to the news, and there's a huge report on how one producer of canned foods is saying, no more.
Right.
I'm not going to do this to my customers. I'm not going to do this to my own kids, my grandkids, myself. I have got to get the BPA out of the lining of tin cans. And I'm not sure everybody knows about.
No.
I think we think if it's in a can, it's not in plastic.
No.
And Jody, you showed me an example.
I'm going to have to, you know what we'll have to do? We'll have to post that on the website, the link to Steve Spangler Science. He shows in our pop cans, and it's in every vegetable can, every fruit can, anything that's canned. All cans have a plastic liner in them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't there, the food would actually eat away the tin or the can or whatever it is.
Or absorb the aluminum flavor.
Yep.
And aluminum has its own problems, right? We're linking some of that to dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that.
Right.
Aluminum really doesn't belong in our system either. However, it's interesting that I believe we've been duped.
Yeah.
I don't think intentionally. My suspicion is... ignorantly. We've gotten so used to it, we don't want to acknowledge that it exists.
Yep.
In the change would be so dramatic. And there's industry dollars involved now and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit because I think that's going to be the biggest sham of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because this whole issue about does bisphenol A have toxic levels, they go straight to the FDA to ask them, you know, is it safe or isn't it safe, right? Yeah. We're so used to relying on somebody to babysit us and say, yes, you can use that carcinogenic, right? Yeah. Well, why'd you keep smoking? Because they told me I could.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So now there, on medicinenet.com, they covered this. Jury still out on BPA plastics risk. Mm-hmm. And the little subheading here, Daniel J. Danoon wrote up this article. It says, what to do while scientists study risk from plastic baby bottles, other sources.
Yeah.
There, now, here's the problem, is that, yes, it does cause problems in the developing babies in utero, but it also has been linked now to potential problems in adults.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this. Yeah. You've got a pretty beefy thing. Well,
you know, what surprised me as I was reading through this, it said they're not just talking about high doses.
No.
They're talking about any doses.
That's right.
And And I noted it here. You know, this Daniel J. Danoon is from WebMD Health News. I think WebMD is really...
pretty reliable.
Very, very reliable, yep. Getting very trusted by so many people.
Yep.
The plastics industry says there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you for not having any type of reason to tell us that.
Neither did R.J. Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's like the cigarette. Cigarette companies trying to tell you it's okay to smoke. It's very good for you. Well,
do you think that we told the soldiers that they might have some radiation problems when they watched the nuclear bombs go off with sunglasses on?
Yeah. Or Agent Orange in Vietnam,
right?
Chemical.
Thank you. So, now that you've told us it's safe, now I believe it.
Exactly.
You know what I was amazed about in this article that we're looking at here is that over 95% of us right now. 95% of us carry measurable amounts of BPA in our blood.
Urine. Yeah, if they test our urine, 95% of Americans will urinate levels of BPA, and those BPA levels fluctuate from person to person, and we're going to talk about that more.
Yeah.
Listen to this, though. The industry uses more than 6 billion pounds of BPA. Not in a lifetime, gentlemen.
No.
Every year.
That's a lot. I mean, think about that.
Pounds. We're talking about micrograms per liter.
So it's in everything. That's
the
point.
Everything. It's in our water. It's in our wastewater. It's in our fresh water. It's in the plastic containers that sterile water is in.
Yeah.
You know, this article that came out in JAMA was talking about how they're going to start banning BPA from the IV tubing and the food supplies and the blood supply.
Yeah.
Because it's affecting these neonates.
Well, tell them what we did in our new office with our water supply.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, because when we came in, we've said, if we have a choice, let's make sure we've got a healthy work environment, right? So we changed our coffee maker from a plastic cheap bun coffee maker to a commercial grade. Why did we do that?
Well, you didn't want the plastic inside of it.
It's all made out of metal.
Yep.
The copper tubing is inside, the stainless steel that reservoirs the hot water.
Right.
And when I started doing research on this, I thought, geez, if heat helps accelerate the leaching of BPA out of plastic, maybe the main source is coffee makers.
Yeah.
We're running hot water over the basket.
Well, it sits there and stays hot all night waiting for you to...
Well, ours does.
Yeah.
The bun coffee makers do. But I was even thinking those cheapo weepos that you buy at the grocery store, right?
Yeah, they're all plastic.
The hot water isn't always hot, but when it comes out and gets sprayed over the grounds, it's hitting that basket and drawing out all that bisphenol A and dripping it into a plastic decanter into your plastic cup.
Yeah, and the internal parts, there's a lot of
plastic. Lots of plastic. In fact, we could not find an aftermarket home-grade coffee maker that didn't have plastic components directly related to hot water.
Yeah.
That's why we went to the commercial grade.
Yeah. Even the commercial grade, you can't avoid it altogether.
Not altogether, but you can limit it.
Right.
So when we made this off, when we did this office...
Yeah.
We happened to come in when the plumbing guys were here, and they were hooking up all PVC hose.
And that flexible hosing that had a rubber lining.
The flexible hosing that looked metal on the outside had a rubber lining inside.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we said, hey, if it's not too much of a problem, they were just starting to do it, would you mind running it all copper?
Yeah.
You know, copper's been known to be antibacterial anyways.
Yeah.
And it's been used forever, right?
Right.
It's pretty healthy. And they did it.
Yeah.
So, well, you remember his comment? He said, oh, wow, we never do that.
Yeah. Do you guys have a problem with plastic tubing?
Yeah.
And we said, yeah. And you should too. Yeah. You know? So then we kind of got into it a little bit, and they looked at us like we were nuts. And then, you know, we said, let's go back to Grandma and Grandpa, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they were drinking their milk 100 years ago out of a plastic jug?
Right.
Would you have caught your grandparents or great-grandparents canning their stuff in a plastic-lined can?
Mason jars.
You know, so...
anyway,
it's,
I derailed.
It's interesting that, you know, I don't know that people 75 years ago would have ever imagined eating, drinking, heating, cooking as many microwaving things in plastic like we do now.
Right. Yeah.
But some scientists say there's reason to worry.
Mm-hmm.
They note that BPA acts like the sex hormone estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, BPA was originally developed as a chemical estrogen to fight cancer. These researchers worry that the BPA is behind hormone-linked trends in human health, such as increased abnormal penis development in males, early sexual development in females, increases in neurodevelopmental diseases such as ADHD and autism.
Autism.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Increased child obesity. Ding, 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 ding.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, too, everybody knows increased amounts of estrogen in women is a leading cause for increasing the risk for breast cancer and other types of cancers.
Right, right.
That's why testosterone is actually one of the treatments for females to try to drive down some of their estrogens. Levels. But they also will have to take like an estrogen blocker that will help metabolize it out so they don't have high levels of estrogen if they find that cancer is affected by the estrogen. Mm-hmm. Decreased sperm count and more breast and prostate cancers. And I'll tell you this too. This is a sensitive subject, but I'm going to speak clearly here. We are seeing more and more problems with people suffering from impotence. Mm-hmm. I mean, have we ever, had to see more commercials about how to handle that than in the last 10 years?
Listen, if it wasn't a problem, why is Viagra making billions of dollars?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a problem. Obviously.
Could it be that we're putting estrogen in men's bodies?
Mm-hmm. We are.
You wouldn't put testosterone in a woman's body.
Right.
Right? You wouldn't increase her testosterone levels to what a man's normal levels are. If you do, what happens? She takes on male characteristics, right?
Grows hair.
He's German.
Oh, come on. In the same way, we should not be putting female hormones, and in this case, BPA is not real estrogen, but it's a xenoestrogen.
It's a mimicker.
And yet they would say, well, yeah, but guys are living longer, and quite frankly, it was a taboo topic, so they didn't tell you they had ED at that level, at that age that they had it. So you're suggesting something else.
I'm suggesting that there's probably as much not being talked about right now.
Sure.
Contributing to other issues in family life and in relationships.
Yeah.
That if this stuff comes out, the whole top is going to blow off this thing.
Correct.
And when we think about, and further on in these articles, it's going to talk about why this is so messed up, why people are fickle. Well, number one, I'm going to say it, Jody. We walk in to talk about this, and you got a plastic lined Coke can in your hand.
I've got my Diet Coke.
And I'm not picking on him, but I'm saying it's going to be a lifestyle change.
Exactly.
And it's not easy.
Unless the manufacturers change.
Unless the manufacturers change. Right. And they need to.
Right.
Read that part, Dan, about the panel of 38 BPA researchers recently issued a report saying they are confident that
that low doses of BPA have biological effects. BPA is everywhere, as we discussed. Mm-hmm. BPA levels commonly seen in humans are higher than those that cause adverse effects in lab animals. Mm-hmm. BPA has different effects at different stages of life. BPA reprograms genes, meaning that toxic effects may show up long after exposure.
That's scary.
That's the estrogen idea, because there's estrogen. There's times in your life, obviously, puberty, other times, where estrogen is higher in a lady for a reason to do things so that
they develop the correct way. Correct.
Yeah. So this is what's happening. We're dumping estrogen, especially into boys' bodies that don't need estrogen. Yep. What do you think is going to happen 10 years down the road?
And in the little girls, they're prematurely maturing into puberty.
Well, the age of puberty is changing.
Oh, I mean, it's tremendous.
You look in the last 20 years, I think it's almost 2.5 years younger.
Exactly.
Yes.
Are we evolving? Like that.
No. We're pumping chemicals. Put them on hormone replacement therapy.
Exactly. Yeah. It says the National Toxicology Program's expert panel says that there's some concern that fetal exposure to BPA affects a baby's brain and causes later behavioral problems. Mm-hmm. But the panel also found minimal concern that BPA affects prostate, minimal concern that BPA accelerates puberty, negligible concern that BPA causes birth defects, and negligible concern that BPA causes reproductive problems in adults.
Yeah, I think this is too early.
Yeah, it's just the beginning.
They've not done enough studies on it. The study found that cans of chicken soup, infant formula, and ravioli had the highest BPA levels.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Is that crazy?
Yeah. 1 in 3 cans of infant formula had BPA levels 200 times the government's traditional safe level of exposure for industrial...
Oy vey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chemicals. Overall, 1 in 10 cans tested at high levels of BPA.
Here's the good news.
Beverage cans have fewer BPA residues.
There you go. I can drink my Diet Coke.
Go right ahead. Keep losing your weight.
All right.
Because that's the big issue here. Yeah. You know, how many women have said, I'm struggling with my weight?
Yeah.
Estrogen has always been one of the reasons why women hold on to more weight than men do.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And I'm telling you, I have met people that say, I'm so frustrated. I don't eat too much. I go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I can't lose it. Mm-hmm. And then, interestingly enough, I mean, 1 in 3 Americans gets cancer.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
It's huge.
1 in 3.
Huge. Unbelievable. Yeah. Statistics.
So it's just amazing to me. And that whole thing about the prostate... Men sometimes get estrogen treatments if they get prostate cancer because estrogen works reverse of what testosterone does, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, big deal about that. That's not the concern. The concern is other side effects related to it.
Now, one thing I did want to note, because my wife and I routinely look at the type of the recycling number on plastics. Mm-hmm. And the... what's it say? Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy notes that plastic bottles with recycling number 7 except new bio-labeled plastics usually contain BPA.
Yeah, right? So even the number 7s, which forever they were telling us, if it's 7, it's safe.
Yeah, because we got to know what to recycle or else our city won't take it.
Right. Even those are not safe. Nalgene is supposed to be known as a healthy plastic bottle alternative.
Yeah, the polycarbonate.
Mm-hmm. Now... Mm-hmm. They're showing in some of these studies that it was leaching.
Right. The polycarbonate, it's leaching when it gets heated.
Yeah.
So you leave it in your hot car.
Leave it in your car, leave it all day, leave it for long periods of time.
Yeah. But here's the practical that I just read. Because we have young kids at home, and they have their bottles and their sippy cups. It's funny they identify this. Mm-hmm. Concerned parents should avoid using these products if they are old, scratched, or have a cloudy, cracked appearance.
That's
a practical application of what we're trying to tell you about here.
Yeah.
That's what leaches.
So guess what we're doing tonight?
Yeah. The same thing that Annie and I did, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
We took a garbage bag... and went through our kitchen and threw away at least 2 bags of plastic items that were everyday used for food.
Storage containers, right. Yeah.
You name it.
Yep.
And you know what? We use Gerber glass baby bottles.
Mm-hmm. To drink out of.
For the kids to drink out of.
Because they're glass thick and they can like take a punch.
Yeah. They don't break easily.
Exactly.
And even if they do, it's not the type of glass that slices their arms off.
Mm-hmm. Right. A good point.
You follow
point.
What I'm saying? Yep. It's not that easily shattered glass.
Exactly. Know all about that.
But beware, even some metal water bottles may be lined with BPA. In fact, what did I do this morning?
Yeah.
In celebration of this episode of iRescue, I went out and bought metal. I thought they were stainless steel water bottles and gave one to each of the employees, right?
Yep. How many hours later?
Less than 6.
Yeah, less than 6.
He came a collecting. He was Indian given.
Yeah, yeah. Six hours is the half-life of BPA in your body, so we're probably okay.
even that study, too, I'm going to derail here. That study doesn't make any sense either because the effect of the hormone has already taken its toll.
It has,
It doesn't matter if the chemical then is excreted out of your body. That happens a lot.
Right.
We're talking about physiological effects from a hormone. Yeah. And I wasn't going to keep that cycle going by having some cheap aluminum instead of stainless steel bottle in here that's lined with epoxy, right? And that's what we found. Yep. Because, you know, the whole thing here, and anybody that does a study on this is going to say, well, geez, I went right to the FDA, and the FDA says we're well safe. Well, number one, they're not going to want to cause panic, right?
Correct.
Number two, I don't believe that any government body that looks at this cannot be swayed in hard financial times by a powerful lobbying party.
And you know the plastics companies.
Petroleum.
It's all tied in amazing. With petroleum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to have petroleum people. Mm-hmm. You're going to have plastics and plastic makers.
That's like telling GM they have to come up with a high mileage car.
Yeah.
See how well that's worked.
Yeah, exactly. So this is really big stuff. And I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. There are some really practical things that we can do, and that is anything that you think is plastic that you could replace with something glass or BPA free, do it immediately.
Yeah.
And we have found there are glass bottles for soda. So those of you that are soda lovers, that you can go and get Jones soda.
Yeah, that's one.
There's others too.
There are some others. And you know what one of my favorite used to be? I used to love the IBC.
IBC. I just saw that this morning.
But IBC is using plastic now for their bigger bottles.
Are you sure?
Yes.
For the big bottles.
Because I went to go get one the other day. I was so frustrated.
You know, I think there's some gourmet sodas by IBC, though, that are still glass. I just saw them today. Yes, there are still glass.
The normal size are
still
glass. Yeah. Labatt's doesn't.
You know what? Interestingly enough, Dan, did the beer bottles that were plastic, did those ever really take off?
No, they did not take off. And they were seen as extremely frugal on the beer industry market.
Yes. And I think the people that are always looking at getting a cheap thing, right?
Yeah.
They would have turned to that.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
And I've heard people say over and over.
Well, think of how many people. The friends I go over to, and they offer us a beer. Not one of them has cans of beer.
Nope.
They have bottles of beer.
Correct.
There's a taste difference.
There is a taste
and
difference.
And those that are snobs about their beer.
Yep. They're going to serve it out of glass.
Jan found a traveling container. What was it? Vodka or gin?
I don't remember.
And she was mortified that you could get that level of liquor
in a plastic travel bottle. Yeah, it's crazy.
It was insane.
Yep.
So
the other things to think about, too, are fine wines. Do you really ever find a fine wine?
Not in plastic.
Not in plastic.
There's a reason why.
And the box wines are taking off in some circles. But
what
I'm sorry.
What is that container? What is that?
It's sack. It's plastic lined.
It looks for like sure. Tinfoil.
It's not tinfoil. I'll tell you why. Have you ever had a wine that doesn't have an acidity level?
No.
Okay.
I can tell you
and they just said tomatoes cannot be stored in cans because they just suck that BPA out of it, right?
Well, if we get back to the guy that we woke up to listening to on NPR today.
Yes.
He was saying of all the foods that he cans, he went to his can suppliers and said, "I'm done. You will find me a substitute for plastic lined cans."
And they did.
And they came up with
a vegetable byproduct
that it lined with. The only one he can't for is?
For tomatoes.
For tomatoes because of?
Acid.
Thank you.
It ate away.
So it's the one component, one can product he still cannot find a solution for.
Well, so how interesting. Yeah.
You guys bought, I know, Roy, you bought, I can't think of what it was called, but those bio bottles is what they were called?
Yeah.
For drinking bottles?
Quarantainers.
Quarantainers. Mm-hmm. That's right. They're made of corn resin.
Yeah. And I know. So, I'm worried about what else they're made of.
Yeah. I think.
Ethanol.
I think they had a number 7 on, though. Did they?
I don't remember what it was, but there was something. The problem with the quarantainer is that I just didn't like the taste. There was something still strange about it.
Okay.
But they were biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
They looked like plastic, felt like plastic, didn't break.
Right.
Right. We did have a couple employees put them in a hot water in it to clean it out.
Yeah.
And it melted.
That did melt.
Like wax. So that was kind of interesting. So they're a little bit limited on what you can do. You're not really supposed to wash them with a detergent.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a drawback on it. But at least they're making headway.
They're trying.
Right?
Yeah.
Excuse me. The other part that I found extremely interesting is... how many people put hot coffee into styrofoam or plastic containers?
I tell you, Roy, ever since you came up with that article, I find myself just disgusted.
The local gas station has lost business.
Yeah.
Yeah, it freaks me out. I've got three stainless steel mugs right now that I carry in my car.
Yep.
Why I say three, I don't carry them all at the same time. I usually have one in the office, one in my house, one in my motorbike, and none in my car. That's what freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought the stainless steel because, I'm
so I open those every time now. I'm conscious about, I know my wife won't just take a thermos if it's not glass or metal lined.
Right. Good for her.
So
good for both of you.
Yeah.
Good for us all.
Good for us all. Good for
Here's to the beginning of getting healthy and preventing illness. Now, I'll tell you the big thing with me, too, is that I'm responsible for my kids.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I could have learned about this, regardless of whether it's all been found out or not. and set my daughters up for potential cancer risks.
Right.
Diabetes.
Heart disease.
Heart disease, ADHD, yep. and my son up for lots of other problems.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't worth it to me. It was too easy to get back to glass. Yeah. I'll tell you what I did today. I went right down to Kingmas, mm-hmm. and there is a local dairy farmer out of Hersey, Michigan, up by Reed City.
Really?
Who's an organic milk producer. It's taken him a long time to get to this point.
Yeah.
He bottles his milk in glass.
Finally. I love it.
Yep. Isn't that neat?
Well, I used to, up until probably 1999, we used to buy our milk in glass.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Always. Because that's the way they always had it. We had glass bottles. Until it was about 1999, they quit doing it.
And so, I'm pretty sure all of our wives do canning.
Oh, yeah.
So all of our jams and our tomatoes and
mason jars, baby.
Yep, sauce. All in nice glass mason jars. Yep.
So when does your block of ice come for your refrigerator?
Well, we usually get that delivered. Oh,
down on the farm.
You know, and you can feel kind of freaked out about this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think we should get freaked out about it. I think we should get committed.
It's a lifestyle change.
It is.
You start now.
I'll do this, though. I'll throw the dare out there. And I think this would be fun to have our listeners start to do this.
This would be fun.
If they make a commitment, starting at the time they listen to this, in less than 3 months, okay? You ready for this?
Yes.
In less than 3 months, if they cut out at least 80 to 90% of the plastics that they're using, this includes their coffee makers, and there are French presses that they can use, there are those glass carafes where you pour hot boiling water over the grate. You can still have drip coffee.
They're called Tata makers.
No. What's the other one, though? The Pyrex glass. It comes in like an hourglass shape, and you put a filter in it, and you pour it over there. We'll try to link on the website so that you can see what you can do. I'm just telling you, everybody, if you do it, you ready? Mm-hmm. I had hot flashes within 30 days of cutting out estrogens.
Really?
I did.
Yeah,
you went through menopause.
Yeah. I basically went through menopause.
You went through menopause.
Man capabause. That's incredible.
And here you go. Here's the challenge. You will begin to lose weight.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. You will lose water weight, and you will start to lose fat weight, and I don't think you have to change much else. I put that challenge out there, and then within 3 months, I want to hear. So what is it, March, April, May, June? So by the 1st of July,
call us.
We want to hear.
Yep.
We want you to write in and tell us of your experiences that you've had since you cut out most estrogens.
Roy can now sing bass instead of tenor.
That's right. My voice is at least 4 decibels lower than it was before.
You do Donny and Osmond.
No, I'm just kidding. But hey. The truth is, it will make a difference.
I'm telling you.
The truth will set you free.
I'm telling you. So from the studios of an estrogen-free iRescue Radio, I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm just Dan.
But you're going to be healthier.
Yes.
See, a little deeper.
Yes.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at iRescueRadio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.